This third hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. And yes, this is the third and the final hour. Oh, the Flowers of Edinburgh from the Liberty soundtrack. That's Mark O'Connor and all the boys, Russ Barenberg and Jerry Douglas, doing the Flowers of Edinburgh, which is actually not about bucolic flowers in the Scottish lowlands. No, 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 it's not about that. It's about the refuse from the chamber pots that people threw out of their windows in the morning. They're into the alleys and into the closest and into the streets and the gutters of Edinburgh. Seriously. And it's called, the tune's called The Flowers of Edinburgh. Alrighty, but this gets into a calendar, which is a lot less of a manure stinted deal. The calendar's pretty cool. It's got some good stuff. There's a dance tonight in Bellingham at the Fairhaven Library Auditorium. Potluck starts at 6:30, runs till 10:30. Bring up pre-cooked foods because there's no oven at the library. So if you want to bring them hot and have people hot, you better get there right on time and leave your house just on time. Or you can bring snacks or whatever. But it is a potluck, they say. And there's a donation place for the musicians and the band. And this is going to be a good time. And they tell you also to bring reusable water bottles. And in Bellingham, the notice is, do not wear chemical scents. There's some people that are very sense-sensitive. So go ahead if you can and try and also think about the shoes that you use on that floor there in that wonderful little library auditorium. I sang there with the group Mockingbird. It was quite fun. So that's happening on September the 10th. Yes, indeed. And also, I believe it's the 17th in the Tri-Cities there at the Unitarian Universalist Church. Gilded Pearls, I think is what the group is called. Maybe it's Ungilded Pearls. But this is Peggy Sullivan and Ron Dalton. They're a husband and wife duo. And they are both really, really good vocalists, really, really good singers and good guitar players. And they sing all kinds of stuff that he writes and she writes. Plus, they do some Carter Family type things and some Bessie Smith things, and they're pretty good. Gilded Pearl, or maybe, like I said, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Anyway, be sure and check them out. That's part of the Three Rivers Folklife Society thing there. Go to their website, just the Three Rivers Folklore Society or Folklife Society. They're in the Tri-Cities. They're the ones who sponsor the Tumbleweed Festival, also September 17th. And I need to check on this. I believe the Palouse Folklore Society is doing second and fourth Saturdays now. So forget 17th until I get this figured out. We'll look this up because I think they would have a dance tonight if their dances are on the second Saturday. I know their October dance is the second Saturday, but I think their September dance is the third Saturday, which is the 17th. I'm almost positive. And they've moved back now to the 1912 Center there in downtown Moscow, right there on 3rd and Van Buren. But I'll check on that dance date. I'm a little hazy. It's because I'm playing the early October dance with the group Potato Head. So keep track of your dance schedules. I think the Port Angeles folks, they have theirs on the first Saturday. And they know what they're doing, so there you go. All kinds of cool stuff. The Party and Art in the Park in Pullman, sponsored by the ASWSU International Student Council. There's a lot of good music at that, too. It's international. That's on the 24th of September. And that's kind of cool. So you got a lot of good stuff that you can choose from here. Okay? All righty. Where are we at here? What are we doing? We're going to play. There were a bunch of different versions of Alice. I want to hear the Alice's Restaurant Around the World. This is a version that starts out like Alice's Restaurant, and then it gets into the story of the multicolored rainbow roach clip or something. but it's quite funny. And it's the fidelity's a little weird. This is from an old radio program, so I'm trusting that there's no words I got to worry about. Anyway, yeah, but parts of it, I've heard a couple different versions of this, the multicolored rainbow roach, and it's pretty funny. Arlo Guthrie, and yet another version. And this isn't the Massacre part one or two. Alrighty. Okay, here we go. Let's see how it works. Arlo Guthrie. It goes like this.
Disappearing multicolored rainbow roaches from Alice's restaurant sent an investigating team up to the scene. They walked in, they sat down, and looked around. They looked upon the walls, on the tables, any cracks, and they looked everywhere, but there was not a roach to be seen. It was a terrible day for the American people. It was terrible. Until they looked in the coffee, and there floating on the top of the coffee was not one, but two multicolored rainbow roaches floating on the top. They were immediately put into the pockets of the two men, brought back to the White House, where they were under intense investigation for possible use in defense. Back at Alice's restaurant, Max, the Russian scientist, was sitting around looking for more multicolored rainbow roaches. Under Max's napkin on the counter was not one, not two, not three, but four. Alice's restaurant again, looking for more multicolored rainbow roaches. And friends, the same thing happened again. And another four multicolored rainbow roaches were smuggled out of the United States and back into Red China, where there was now one roach for each of the leading scientists to study. Meanwhile, back at the White House, things were going bad. There were now 10 multicolored rainbow roaches out of Alice's restaurant in the hands of foreigners. A terrible day. But another team was sent up to Alice's restaurant to try to find more multicolored rainbow roaches. They walked in, sat down, looked around, and there was no multicolored rainbow roaches to be seen anywhere. They looked on the ceiling, in the fan, in the coffee. On the bronze bar at the bottom of the counter, where there should have been a bronze bar, it was soft. Their feet was touching something soft. They looked down at the feet and friends. Sitting around.
table, wondering what to do with the 4 by 5 foot multicolored rainbow roach. While they were sitting around discussing it, I think it was McNamara who accidentally spilled his coffee on multicolored rainbow roach. And it was Humphrey who immediately wiped it up with his napkin, and then wiped his lips with the napkin that he had just wiped a joint with, and it tasted good. Humphrey took another lick at the multicolored rainbow roach, and it tasted better. Pretty soon they all started sticking their fingers in there and taking out chunks. Lyndon was down there chomping on a 4 by 5 foot multicolored rainbow roach. An hour later, they were all stoned, sitting around the roach, stoned. Meanwhile, back in China, experiments were going on about how to make a 50 megaton multicolored rainbow roach bomb. And they found, as people often find, that the best way was the least expensive and the least complex. They took a little piece of multicolored rainbow roach, put it on, and scotch-taped it to the nose of a 50 megaton missile. A test was being made. The missile was hurled into the air at a fantastic rate of speed with the multicolored rainbow roach scotch-taped to the nose. It went up in the air and exploded in all the fragments from the little tiny fragments of the scotch-taped multicolored rainbow roach started going and falling toward the earth at such a fantastic speed that it turned into a gaseous form. And friends, within a 25-mile radius of the explosion, people were stoned, standing, sit lying there stoned. They were breathing back in Moscow, another experiment was being made in how to put the multicolored rainbow roach on the nose of another missile, and I found that the scotch tape again was the answer. And another test missile went up in the world, far away from the first one. It went up in the world and exploding all Franklin stations, falling down, turning into smoke and coming down, and the people breathing there and again. Within a 25-mile radius, people were stoned. Meanwhile, back at the White House, they were still chomping on the 4 by 5 foot multicolored rainbow roach. And it was Lyndon Johnson's idea to come up with a defense plan for the United States never heard or seen by anyone. The grooviest defense plan that was ever planned for any nation under God. 25,000 and two Bessie Rosses were immediately called to the White House lawn. They were standing out there knitting the biggest blanket ever to be seen in the history of man. I'm talking about a blanket not as big as New York City, not as big as New York State, not as big as the East Coast or the West Coast, but a blanket is big. A blanket so huge that it covered the entire North American continent, including Alaska and Hawaii. And on one side of the blanket was a picture of the United States. And on the other side of the blanket was a picture of the sky. The blanket was brought into space by the Jet Air Force planes. It was stood up there and it's still there. Friends, it was hovering over the United States, but nobody knew that it was there, cause looking up it just looked like the sky, and looking down it just looked like the United States. What a groovy defense it was, because it was just in time, because it was that terrible day that somebody pushed the button. Friends, it It was 1 week ago from today that somebody pushed a button. They don't know who it was. They don't even know what button it was. But all of a sudden, there was missiles. Multicolored rainbow roach missiles. Heading from Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Denver, Colorado, and all kinds of other places. It was going to be the most tragic day in the lives of American people. But as they exploded over their cities, over the target cities, the fragments falling in the air, before they could turn into a gaseous form, they were caught by the blanket, and the blanket was immediately rolled up and dumped out on the White House lawn, and all the fragments were labeled accordingly. Taking purple, Afghanistan green, all kinds of various assorted pies, put into little jars. Friends, I want to tell you that all those jars 3 days ago was put into a satellite, which is now circling the entire world. And what was left of the 4x5 foot multicolored rainbow roach is scotch tape to the nose of some missile somewhere in the United States. And I don't want to tell you where it is, cause it's a defense secret. But it's there. And in the event of another third world war, that missile with the remains of the 4x5 foot multicolored rainbow roach is gonna go into the sky and strike the satellite, and all over the world, being thrown by the foreign winds, over every continent, island, and place to be, in every tree, is gonna be the gaseous form of a big blue cloud circling the world forever. Because in the event that you feel that a third world war is coming, I want you all to take your stuff and get out into the country where you can have a better chance of breathing there, having a good time. Everybody's gonna be in the city, your mothers, uncles, brothers, sisters, cousins, dogs, cats, kids, and all kinds of neighbors out there sniffing the same air, and there may not be enough smoke for you. So go out into the country, in the green world, sitting on the grass while the other stuff coming down, in a big blue cloud, and you're sitting there, breathing the clean country air with the fragments. Won't that be a wonderful day? We're waiting for the third world war. I think it's only fitting and proper that we sing a chorus at Alice's restaurant, so we have something to do from now until then. So we'll just wait till it comes around here on the guitar, and everybody listening to the song on the radio, sitting back, having your own third world wars. We know you're there. Till it comes around, and then we'll all start to sing it with feeling. I'm a pacifist myself, but I don't mind getting into a fight every once in a while. Put you down over the radio, friends, but you weren't singing out there. So we'll we'll just wait for it to come around again. So I put it out and sing now.
Yeah.
Recorded 1967, August 6th, Arlo Guthrie.
Boy, that was so end of the Cold War. That was so 60s. Unbelievable. The multicolored rainbow roach, Arlo Guthrie. And you know, those of us who were Alice's Restaurant, like, we were familiar with that. We didn't know that this existed. I don't think anybody did. And so there you go. We have explored a lot of Arlo over the past 6-7 months or so because he was in Spokane doing his thing. And that came out of the clear blue. Yes, it did. Recorded old radio programs. Old radio programs. All righty, well, before we end the tail end of this hour, let's do Katie and Anna McGarrigle, a little NACL action, okay?
Just a little atom of chlorine, valence minus one, swimming through the sea, digging the scene, just having fun. She's not just a little atom of Cl with an unfilled shell. But somewhere in that sea lurks handsome sodium, with enough electrons on his outside shell plus that extra one. For my extra energy, yes, somewhere in this foam, my positive will find a home. Then unsuspecting chlorine felt a magnetic pull. She looked down and her outside shell was full. Sodium cried, "What a gas, be my bride, and I'll change your name from chlorine to chloride." Now the sea evaporates to make the clouds for the rain and snow, leaving her chemical compounds in the absence of H2O. But the crystals of
you can't be doing that. No, no, no. Because we have to take a break. Yes, we do. We still have a half hour's worth of music left to go. We got some Fairport Convention Tamlin coming up. But we're going to take a little bit of a break. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. And we're coming back for lots, lots, lots more stuff. You just hang on because we are coming back. Okay? Hang on now. Thank you. An album just came out. An album came out, the best of the Fairport Convention on the BBC. And it's just like a lot of the other Fairport Convention outtake albums, of which there are myriads. And myriads of Sandy Denny outtakes, the Rupert Sessions, all this unreleased material of Sandy Denny's. And some of it's pretty good and some of it's pretty crappy. And some of it is mediocre and some of it is awesome. And, you know, most unreleased material, you can kind of see why it was unreleased. And it has no business being out there. And a lot of the Fairport Convention and Sandy Denny stuff is like that. This has got some pretty good stuff from the BBC, of course. These were BBC performances. And occasionally there'll be some disc jockey or something, some host. Same. Anyway, that's Fairport Convention, you know. And anyway, and so it's got some good stuff. It has a good version of Tamlin on it. And we're going to play this version of Tamlin right now. And it goes like this. Tamlin, Fairport Convention.
Yeah.
So just how do you go from that tale of the supernatural with an almost supernatural band? And they were doing the electric folk thing before Steel Ice Band was. Fairport Convention, a band that spawned folks like Ian Matthews and Richard Thompson and Dave Swarbrick and Simon Nicole. And Dave Swarbrick just died recently, maybe about 2 months ago, maybe. And just so many other folks. Dave Pegg, of course, who played bass for Jethro Tull as well, is in this group. And the big Fairport Convention. And they still do the big Cropperty Festival celebrating Fairport Convention. They still do that. They have almost a totally different lineup. Simon Nicole's still there, kind of a grumpy old dude. And Dave Pegg is still there, but everybody else has kind of changed. And Fairport Convention, what a legacy. Oh, my gosh. And what a legacy Katie and Anna McGarrigle. And, of course, Katie McGarrigle died 5 or 6 years back. And this album, Pronto Monto, just came out on CD, and all the pundits just can't understand why it didn't come out earlier. Good little CD.
Snow upon his by the ton. I just But here's an attractive song we've heard before, and it's a pleasure to be able to repeat it once again. Now, this is a solo feature for Sandy Denny of Fairport Convention, and she wrote the song herself as well. It's called Fotheringay.
How often she has gazed from castle windows all and watched the daylight passing within her captive wall.
Convention and Sandy Denny's Fotheringay.
And my heart feels sick, so won't you come back? is gone. Your pretty face and gentle ways I thought were just for me. I was your girl, your precious pearl in life's deep blue sea. But when the winter wind blew cold, you grew cold to me. My virtue I then denied and surrendered willingly. Oh, foolish me, too late the lesson. Never lock the cabin door after the thief has gone. I guess it was that red-haired gal who stole your mind away. I saw you take her by the arm after church one day. You walked her down the river road, the pleasant view to see. But she was wise and kept the prize I gave to you so free. Oh, foolish me, too late the lesson learned. Never lock the cabin door after the thief has gone. Never lock the cabin door after the thief has gone.
Foolish me, Connie Dover. Connie Dover, who has done so much, worked with the likes of Phil Cunningham and Manus Lunny and all those guys, and Duncan Chisholm, and did all those Celtic things for three albums. And then she did a Christmas album with the Kansas Symphony or something, the Kansas State Symphony. And now this is an album of Ranch Girl love lyrics that she wrote. She still works on the ranches. She's got to be in her early 50s, maybe. But she does a lot of this winter ranch work out in Wyoming and Montana and Colorado and all those places. And she's composed, and she composed most of this album, and a couple of friends to back her up on the thing. What a diverse young woman, Connie Dover. I just admire just about everything she's ever done. She was also with a group out of Kansas originally. What were they called? Scarab Ray, I think. A Celtic group. She did some cool stuff with them too. Well, there you go, Connie Dover. And there you go, there's a whole show for you. Heidi's singing and stuff. It means we have to split, doesn't it? And I need to let you know that if you want to get Mark O'Connor tickets for Spokane, the Bing Crosby Theater on the 6th of October, you go to Tickets West, 1-800-325-SEAT. 1-800-325-SEATS for the Mark and Maggie O'Connor show up in Spokane, sponsored by Spokane Public Radio. If you want them for the Walla Walla Symphony Mark O'Connor, Maggie O'Connor thing on the 4th of October, you just go to www.symphony.org on your computer, tell you all about it and how you get your tickets and everything for Mark and Maggie O'Connor. You're going to hear a lot because it's coming on the 4th of October and we're doing major promotion on this. Amanda Cully doing the playlists. If you want to email me at D as in Daniel, M-A-H-E-R at WSU.edu, or you can call me at 509-332-5060. 24/7. I want you folks to have fun making good music. Enjoy everything that good music can give you. And take all those good roads anywhere you want to take them, because they are your roads, folks. And then nobody else's. We're going to be back next week for another edition of Inland Folk. And until then, this show is history. It's out of here. If you're thinking about it, you're living in the past. Don't spend your life doing that. We'll see you around the bend now. Bye.